Hi, this is Pastor Eric Dalma from Gospel of Grace Fellowship. It is our privilege to present to you this classic CIC radio broadcast. We pray that God uses it to encourage you in the gospel and equip you to discern truth from error.
This is Dick Cuffle, your host for the next half hour. We're speaking today with Bob DeWade. Our topic today is Spiritual Warfare, a Battle of Two World Views. I think we have an interesting topic, Robert. We've had three discussions so far. This is the fourth. This one has the possibility of being the best of them all. We defined the warfare worldview and the providential worldview. We explored the words commanding, legal system, information, secret knowledge, and elements of confronting. And we focused on some of the writing of Bob Larson and C. Peter Wagner. That kind of brings us up to where we are right now. And now you started talking about a relational issue. You said that being blessed or cursed depends on one's relationship with God. Where do you go from there?
Well, that's the big difference between the providential worldview and the warfare worldview, because in their world, everything is caused by the interaction of spirits and humans. Well, you still have this issue of secret knowledge out there, and we may be cursed even as Christians in their view because of something we don't know about the spirit world. So we're back to the same thing, whether it's directly confronting demons or exorcism or what have you. In this other topic that we're going to address today, blessing and cursing, you have the same way it kind of falls out. In their world, you are possibly cursed, even if you're a Christian and you know God, because of some secret information you're lacking.
Well, it's interesting. This was part of a presentation that you had given at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you made a comment that this is more simple than spiritual mapping. And I thought that was an interesting comment.
Well, it's way more simple. This is so simple. And we talked about that spiritual mapping before.
Yes.
But it's way simpler because it comes down to whether you're willing to come to God on his terms and trust him or whether you're not.
Which is the blessing, man trusting in God.
Yeah, now let me read it from Jeremiah 17.
Absolutely.
Really, you could consult verses 5 through 8, but I'm just going to deal with the salient part here. Blessed is the man who trusts in God. Cursed is the man who trusts in man.
Oh, man. That's great.
Now, how hard is that to figure out?
By the way, what's the nature of the curse in that case? I mean, is that just the natural outcome? If you're going to trust man, it's not going to work for you, or is it worse than that?
The curse that we have to worry about is God's disapproval on us.
Amen.
Okay. If you remember the story of Balaam.
Okay.
He wanted to curse Israel.
Yes.
But he couldn't. Why? Because
God let him.
Yeah, God blessed, God blessed them. They were in relationship with God, so they were blessed. He was a very good curser. He'd got paid a lot of money. And we did a whole series on Balaam one time.
Yes.
And he couldn't curse them. So, dear brothers and sisters, if you have come to God through the gospel, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are blessed. And it's a relational issue, not a symptomatic one.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, you moved on to Galatians in your discussion. And what's that?
Well, it just further reinforces what I've been saying. It says in Galatians 3:14, in order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Why don't you expand that blessing of Abraham?
Well, that's an allusion to Genesis 12 and verse 3 that says, in Abraham, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Okay, how do we end up being blessed by Abraham? Well, the greater son of Abraham was Messiah, who descended from Abraham and from David, according to the genealogies in the New Testament. And that is the promised one through whom the families of the earth will be blessed.
Amen.
So if you come to Christ in faith, you're blessed. Now, Paul's argument further on in Galatians is if you don't and you're under the law, you're cursed.
Yes.
Okay, so you see a relational issue, not a symptomatic one.
Yes. That's good. Okay. But now, if we step back into the warfare worldview, and I think the first person you talked about at that time was Derek Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, that's one of my old revered guys. You know, when I was in the Charismatic Renewal, I used to like him. He's an Oxford graduate. He's a bright man.
Yes, I used to listen to his stuff, too, and it wasn't all wrong. It wasn't all bad, but he had this problem about the warfare worldview creeping into his teachings. And I'm going to use his book just to show how hopeless this whole thing is once you adopt it.
What was the book?
Blessing or Curse.
Okay.
Blessing or Curse.
All right.
And I'm on page 74 of that book, and it says, conversely, any one of the four generations preceding us, having committed these sins, could be the cause of a curse over us in our generation. Each of us has two parents, four grandparents, eight great-grandparents, and 16 great-great-grandparents.
Oh, this is getting out of control.
Okay. And then continuing to read, Prince, this makes a total of 30 persons, any one of whom might be the cause of a curse in our lives. And then here's what he says. How many of us would be in a position to guarantee that none of our 30 ancestors was ever involved in any form of idolatry or the occult?
Okay, so we're all doomed. We're going to be all cursed. That's basically what he's saying.
Well, how can you escape that?
Yeah.
Okay, so the implication is we're cursed. We're cursed because of something some unknown person did, and we can't even find out what is the cause of it or what the person did that puts the curse on us.
Unknown person, unknown time, unknown. Oh, this is wild.
Well, now, if you remember earlier broadcasts on this series.
Yes.
I pointed out that in this world, you always end up with the need for a shaman.
Ah, and this is where this comes in?
Well, yeah, because, again, you're back to secret information. Because we don't know who all these people were, and we don't know what they did in their lifetime. And most of this probably is not recorded somewhere. If you wanted to do a genealogical search and then read a history of all your ancestors, well, who could do that?
Well, now we're going to have a prophet come and diagnose.
Yeah, huh? So right. So then you need a shaman. Oh, prophet, I mean.
Prophet.
Yeah, you need a guy to come in. They can get a revelation from God and tell you why you're cursed.
Oh, my.
And you know, do you remember those things back in the 70s?
I do.
And there were people get these quote-unquote words of knowledge.
Yes.
Somebody comes in with a problem. I've got this problem. My kids are in rebellion or whatever it may be.
Yes.
You go get the person to pray for you, and they say, well, the Lord told me that your great-grandfather had a Ouija board. And so then you'd renounce the sin of your great-grandfather, break the curse over you, and go on. Now, does anybody know whether that was actually true?
No. You know those words of knowledge, that kind of thing? The trouble is that people dealt with them as fact. They got that thought, then they declared that that person was in this kind of sin. Terrible. It ends up being curses, but it's beyond that.
You're into the secret world. Remember the categories, Deuteronomy 29:29?
Yes.
The secret things belong to God. Well, in that worldview, that's exactly where you have to be.
I agree. Okay. Well, you had an actual list out of that same book.
They actually had a list where you can find out whether you're cursed or not by looking for symptoms.
Ah, okay.
Now, remember, I'm defending the providential worldview that's based on relationship with God.
Yes.
Coming to God on his terms.
Yes. Okay.
Prince is teaching the warfare worldview that's symptomatic. Well, the way you know you're cursed is you just look at your life, and if things aren't right, you're cursed.
Okay, well, give me a few things that would be on that list.
Okay, here's the list he had in his book on page 45. Mental or emotional breakdown, repeated or chronic sicknesses, barrenness, tendency to miscarry, breakdown of marriage and family alienation, continuing financial insufficiency, being accident prone, a history of suicides or untimely deaths. So you have this list.
Some of those look like projections of something out of the Old Testament, but some of it just looks, I don't know where it came from.
Well, what else might be on the list? I mean, where did he get this list?
No idea. Yes.
Okay. So okay. You could think about anything that might go wrong.
How would this look if we took it from a providential worldview instead of taking his perspective?
The providential worldview would tell us that if we're in Christ, we're sons of Abraham, we have faith, we're trusting God on his terms, we're part of the covenant, and therefore we're blessed.
Okay, and that's where you took it in your discussion before. You went to what?
Well, just look at Matthew 5, okay?
Yep.
If you had this other view that Prince articulated, and you had bad things going on, you'd have to believe you're cursed. But here's what Jesus said concerning those who are blessed, at least in his kingdom.
Yes.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are the insulted, persecuted, recipients of evil. In the Luke Sermon on the Plain, he said, blessed are the poor. So Derek Prince says, if you have a history of financial insufficiency, you're cursed. And Jesus said, blessed are the poor.
Amen.
Okay. Now, of course, he said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So if you come to Jesus in faith and become a citizen of the kingdom, then you're blessed, even if things aren't going so good in your life.
You actually even took it further and went to Hebrews.
Well, yeah, just think of the people who were listed in Hebrews as the great people of the faith.
Yes.
Here's some of the symptoms in Hebrews 11. Blessed are the mocked, scourged, chained, imprisoned, stoned, sawn in two, tempted, put to death with the sword, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. It says, who gained approval through their faith.
Wow.
Okay. Now, how do we know they're blessed? Because they had faith.
Amen.
All of these bad things happened to these great heroes of the faith, but they were blessed because they had faith. So even under the old covenant, the issue was faith. Okay. And blessed is the man who trusts in God. And they're called people of whom the world is not worthy. So there's a serious disconnect here. And some of our listeners have undoubtedly heard these teachings.
Oh, yes.
And maybe you've been to a meeting where somebody is talking about blessing and cursing, and then you go forward to have them break the curses over your life. So we have these professional curse breakers, and the information you need is not available other than by personal special revelation. Okay. And then you have kind of a quagmire that you end up under.
Well, you moved that discussion along back to Galatians, and you were talking about things that we have to do. It's sort of like, all you have to do is just keep the law.
Well, the law says that you're cursed if you don't keep every single part of it.
Okay, so we can't do that.
But yeah, and Paul's logic was this. If you're under the works of the law, you are cursed, because cursed is he who doesn't abide in all of these things to do it. And so Paul doesn't believe in human ability. We're all sinners.
Yes.
We all break God's law. So the only way to be blessed is to come to Jesus Christ and become a son of Abraham by having the kind of faith that Abraham had. Abraham believed God, and that was accounted to him for righteousness.
How did you draw the connection between that and what Prince was talking about?
Well, Prince's view would be that somebody's sin in the past is trickling down through this cosmic cause and effect, and it's causing me to suffer circumstances and divine punishment in some ways for somebody else's sin.
The outcome of a law being broken.
Yeah, it's something trickling down through the generations. And we have an entire article on this. If you don't understand the issue, just go to cicministry.org, go to articles, and under the little search box, there's a Google search box that just searches our site.
Yes.
Search for generational curses. It'll take you to my article, and I'll show you the theology behind this and how it's really understood. Because the Old Testament says that the soul that sins will die. If a person repents, even if his father was a wicked, rebellious sinner, according to Ezekiel 18,
yes,
that person will live.
Galatians 3:13 and 14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. It's right along the lines of what you're talking about now, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. Blessing.
There's your answer.
Yep, right, so relationship.
And so the relationship is the issue, and this providential worldview would be that the person who knows Christ, Romans 8:28 is true about that person, because love God, call according to his purpose, then all things work out for the good, ultimately.
Let's deal with that generational curses thing directly. I mean, you've talked about it, and we've gone back into the papers. But the simple thing, you know, when you go to Corinthians, you had quoted in your discussion, 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. This whole generational thing, it keeps popping up. We hear it from new people coming into church all the time.
I know. I'm probably going to preach a sermon on it here soon.
Ah.
It comes up in the Ten Commandments, and I'm preaching through the Ten Commandments, so I think I'll take a Sunday and just explain this. We get everybody up to speed on it.
the way you're going is going to take us 10 months. It's going one commandment a week.
Well, what can I say? There's a lot of stuff in the Bible.
Hey, it's great. Absolutely great. But okay, speak to that generational curse.
Well, the issues are, if you read the sections, there's a contrast between the consequences for covenant breakers and idolaters, third and fourth generation, but the promise said to the one who loves God, it goes to the thousand generation.
Right.
So really, it's a limitation of judgment, not a multiplication of it.
Excellent.
And then you have to look at all the other passages in the Old Testament, too, where it says that a person dies for his own sin and so on and so forth. So there's natural consequences. Yeah, a person lives a wicked, sinful life is a bad thing for his descendants.
Yes.
But it's not hopelessly so, because one of those descendants of a wicked, rebellious man might repent and come to Christ.
Exactly right.
And so there's always a way to get back into the right relationship by coming to God on his terms, whereas this other view is hopeless.
Excellent. Acts 26, you had 26 verse 18 said, and this is where you moved along in your next part of your argument, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. And it was kind of a basic, simple thing. The gospel does it.
Yeah. That was Paul before Agrippa explaining his message.
Right. Yes.
So you turn to God and you go from darkness to light, the dominion of Satan to God. I was just preaching on that list last Sunday, yeah. I think so. Yeah.
But these mission experts are saying that we must add to the gospel and do spiritual mapping and all this other stuff.
You know what? It's just sad that we're seeing this going on. The gospel is being confused. And as we're talking about in this series of radio broadcasts, even the Christian worldview, the basic view of the world we live in that's informed by the Bible, is compromised. And now we're thinking like pagans. And Amen. We're thinking that there's these unseen forces out there that are going to determine our fate, and that coming to God through the gospel may not even help that much when it comes to all these bad things going on in our lives.
It's almost like we've really lost some belief that the gospel has got power.
Yeah, we have a diminished gospel. And whenever people adopt this warfare worldview, it diminishes their view of the power of the gospel, because they're saying the gospel sort of helps, but you got all this other stuff you got to do.
Right, right. Okay, I want to open up the implications of the warfare worldview. It's kind of like beginning to wrap up what we've been discussing mm-hmm. for some time. And I'm going to read a couple of things that came off of your slides and then just ask you to comment on them. But the first one was, a Christian can never be certain he is free from Satan's power. That's what they're saying. He can never be certain that he's free. And according to the warfare worldview, the unseen spirit world has rules that give demons entrance into the Christian. Wow.
Well, as we talked in an earlier broadcast, we quoted them saying that, right?
Yep.
Well, then where do you get your assurance or your certainty?
Well, the rules aren't revealed in the Bible, you said. The spirits know the rules, we don't. The spirits know their realm, we don't. And the spirits have rights to us because of any sin or passive will or whatever.
Yeah.
That's where we're stuck.
So there we are. Now, how does anybody think that's hopeful?
Well, because
it's the most hopeless thing I've ever heard in my life.
Because they sold a lot of books to tell you how to go in to do the mapping and how to reach into the spirit world.
Right. Then you create a spiritual technology, and you, just like every pagan culture in the history of the world, a class of shamans arises that has the information, and you got to pay them to get it.
Yes.
Okay. And this is so exceedingly pagan that it's shocking.
Now, you made a statement. I'm going to see if you want to stand up with this one.
You will lose your confidence in the finished work of Christ in that regard.
At one point, you'd said you'll lose your faith in Christ if you fall in with these guys. Would you clarify that a little bit?
People can get into this and still believe that Christ died for their sins. They can still believe in the cross, but it's not interesting because it really didn't do that much.
Yes.
They need all this other stuff so that their life can get straightened out.
Yes.
And it's the clash and heresy, as we've done on the radio before.
Okay. But the fact is, you made this statement also, you don't know the spirit realm or the human heart. How then can we figure it out? Demons know that. I mean, they don't know the human heart, but
well, think about the quagmire that people get into. Okay, says in Jeremiah that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it?
Yes.
Well, only God.
Yes.
All right. And then you have the secret spirit world that's not revealed in the Bible. Now, these psycho-spiritual technicians are going to go into both of those realms, the human heart and this world of demons and spirits, and they're going to rearrange things. They're going to try to do some sort of spiritual surgery or some sort of spiritual procedure to fix your heart and to keep you from the demons. And I have told people that if you go there, if you really sit back and think about the claims that people are making, like Neil Anderson, for example.
Yes.
You wouldn't even start with it because you decide it was hopeless before day one.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. Hopeless. The only reason you think it's not hopeless is these experts claim that they know what they're doing and it works for them.
Yes.
But logically, you go into the world of the human heart, which is unknowable to us, and the spirits, which are not known to us, and the interaction between the spirits and the human heart, and you're going to fix that mess? Why don't you just turn to God? What God claimed to be the heart knower.
Yes.
And the Bible claims that if you turn to Christ through the gospel, you're transferred out of the authority of darkness into the kingdom of his son. And only God can cure the problems of the human heart. So just go to God on his terms. You don't need these shamans.
Absolutely.
You don't need these psycho-spiritual healers. They're going into secret realms that you don't know and they don't know. They just say they do.
Okay, and point two, getting right along on that same thought. They say a Christian can never be certain he is blessed and not cursed. According to the warfare worldview, curses fall upon Christians for a variety of reasons. Sins of unknown ancestors, words that Christians might say, sins that Christians might commit, sins committed by previous persons on property that a Christian owns, anything going wrong in life that can be understood as evidence of being cursed. All those things can have a curse on you.
Right. So you might as well just walk around life assuming you're cursed if you're going to believe these guys.
That's true.
But see, they're trying to sell you a solution. But if you're logical and you think about everything that could possibly curse you, just out of their own books that you read.
Yes.
You might as well say it's hopeless. I'm going to be cursed, so I'll save my money. Yes. I'm not going to go to the seminar. I'm not going to pay these guys. I'm not going to buy their books. I'll just go home and be cursed because it's going to happen anyhow. Somebody's going to say something or somebody's not going to like me. How do I know I'm living on a piece of property that 100 years ago somebody didn't do some occult deed there and there's a curse on my...
Oh, man.
So you go around hiring professional curse breakers yep. like Balaam to try to get rid of all of this. The alternative is just believe the Bible.
Yes.
Why do we not want to just believe the Bible? Oh. It says that blessed is the person who trusts in God. It says that we're blessed in Christ if we come to him through the gospel. So I am offering a real simple solution. Believe the gospel.
And a clear one.
Right.
It's excellent.
It's amazing how hard it is to convince the people in this other view that they're in bondage.
That's exactly right. Okay, and you had a third point under that warfare worldview. The Christian's future well-being is never certain.
Of course it's not.
According to their worldview.
Of course it's not.
Wow.
How could it be?
Man. No, I see that. Okay.
Because anytime these things would show up and, you know, rear their ugly head, and maybe there was, when you went to the shaman, I mean the prophet, to break the curse from the third and fourth generation, maybe out of those all those ancestors, he missed one.
You had an interesting list on your slide, and then we'll move on to the providential worldview. But you said, according to the warfare worldview, future world history is determined by the interaction of humans in the spirit world. And then you listed three things. If Christians fail to identify and bind territorial spirits, their lands will be blighted and cursed. If Christians lack spiritual technology, they'll be unable to fulfill the Great Commission. All future promises of God are contingent on the decisions of men and devils. Man, that's criminal.
You know how far Romans 8:28 goes out the window, if you believe that? So men and devils are going to decide the future. So, and we might be the casualties, and Greg Boyd says that there's casualties. Remember, we started with
yes.
a quote from him, and
yes.
he promotes the warfare worldview. Well, think about it. It's a pagan worldview. It's
yes,
just
it
a
is.
Christianized pagan worldview. Well, look at the pagans. How much hope do they actually have?
You know, you mentioned Boyd, and we mentioned him at the beginning. You made a comment that he rejects that God is the overlord of history.
Oh, yeah. He calls it the blueprint view that he rejects. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to talk about the providential worldview, and I think that basically is the total statement against it. Okay, so let's scope that out a little bit, the implications of the providential worldview. First thing, Christians are delivered from the authority of darkness through the gospel. Talk about it.
Well, it says in Colossians that we're transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son, or the authority of darkness, the domain of darkness, exousia in the Greek.
Yes.
This is the claim of the gospel writers. When Jesus walked the face of the earth, people found deliverance because of him. I just preached on that last
yes.
week. A woman who was bound by Satan was loosed on Sabbath. And then he talks about the kingdom developing. Why? Because people are being added to it as they repent and they believe the gospel. The only way to get out of this domain or authority of darkness is to repent and believe the gospel. That's the only
Amen.
Way out.
Amen.
The shaman can't get you out of it.
And the beautiful part was Christ canceled the debt. You mentioned that in Colossians 2, 14 and 15.
Okay. Yes. And so if you're a Christian, you're blessed and not cursed. Why? Because you're in Christ.
Right. It's so simple. Okay. Second point. Every Christian is blessed and not cursed. You took us to Ephesians 1, verse 3, which is, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.
Think about that. Paul wrote that to the Ephesians.
Yes.
Right? Was he in Ephesus at that time?
No.
He was in prison,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you adopted Derek Prince's worldview, you'd have to actually go to Ephesus and start diagnosing people one at a time.
Yes.
Bring them in. Here's a Christian. Do you have chronic illnesses?
Yes.
Oh, you're under a curse. Are you chronically short on money?
Yes.
No, you're under a curse. Do you have this problem? Well, you're probably under a curse. But Paul is not even there. He's in prison. And he writes to this entire church, not just one at a time after he diagnosed them, and declared that they're all blessed in Christ.
Amen.
Okay, how unbiblical does this stuff have to get before people will wake up and see that they're being sold a bill of goods?
Yeah, really, it is a question. What are they thinking when they read the epistles?
I don't get it.
Wow.
You're reading along, and Paul says that the entire church is blessed with every blessing in Christ, and then you go to a seminar that convinces you you're cursed.
Okay, go to the third point. Every Christian, this is your third point in the providential worldview, every Christian is securely in God's hand and is assured that no evil power in the universe can thwart God's purposes.
Absolutely. Romans 8, we've been there so many times. Dear beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, do yourself a favor. Just read, when you get a chance, when you're done listening to this or the next time you get a chance, just read Romans 8, 28 through the end of the chapter. Paul
yes.
even talks about the principalities and powers and height and depth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Just read the section. And when you get done reading that section, ask yourself, am I cursed? If this is all true, I'm cursed. I've got demons. I've got territorial spirits ruling over my house. Where do we get this? We're safe.
Let me just read those just for two things. One is going to be Romans 8:28. Okay, Romans 8:28 said, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Man, we have to feel good about that. But the second one was Romans 8:38 and 39. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow.
Okay. So we've done four broadcasts on the warfare worldview, which is very popular, and the providential worldview, that God's actually in charge of his own creation. And not only is he in charge of his own creation and in charge of history, he has a special blessing, a true blessing, an irrevocable blessing that's been given to every one of his own sons and daughters. And it's been given to them in Christ. And no curse monger can revoke it. And so you've got a choice. You can believe the Bible and believe you're blessed and trust Jesus Christ, or you can go to these guys who claim to have secret information. They're going to manipulate the spirit world. They're going to do spiritual mapping. They're going to discover the generational curses by some sort of word of knowledge or some sort of revelation. They're going to diagnose what's wrong with you. I'm telling you, it's hopeless. Just trust Jesus Christ. He'll Amen. Take care of you. He loves you. He died for you. He'll take care of you. And every one of us whom he receives, he also gives us sanctification, and he works in, through the means of grace to turn us into the kind of people that are conformed to the image of Christ. And it's not completed till the resurrection.
Robert, this has been an excellent discussion on spiritual warfare. I'm glad we were able to put together a few of these things, and I hope it's helpful to everybody.
We're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. We want to remind you of Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit, with one mind, and strive together for the faith of the gospel.